Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Source, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Barnes with a 1-1. Hard hit, skips, Bogaerts has it, flips the second one, on to first, skip there, got him! Double play to end the night! Hot shot, hot indeed, hot potato! Red Sox win it 8-5. Outstanding way to end it there as it goes 6-4-3 ball game.
That was a hot shot. I thought it was a base hit up the middle, hit the mound, came back a little bit. Bogey gets to it, and the throw by Chavis is in the dirt, but Mitch picks it. But look at that. That's a little branch work there for the Red Sox, and they turn it to end this thing.
So here you go. Red Sox winners last night over the Baltimore Orioles. 8-5, I think, was the final score. I'm always bad with final scores. I don't remember what the final number was, but I think it was a 3-1 win. 8-5 was your final at Camden Yards. So here's a little interesting piece of information for you. The Red Sox started the year 6-13. If they win tonight against the Orioles with Chris Sale on the mound, you know what they'll be in their next 19 games? They went 6-13 in the first 19. Tonight they will finish the second 19. If they win, you know what their record will be? 13-6. So from 6-13 to 13-6, the Red Sox will be .500. Even .500, and they will have officially dug themselves out of that hole in the American League East. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock. I see Dave in Norfolk already on the line that I think wants to talk about, which was really, what was the most important story in that game last night. Okay, so you know what? Rather than me tell you what it was, I'm going to bring in Dave in Norfolk. Dave, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, what's going on?
What's on your mind?
So I was reading somewhere that the Dodgers are looking to get rid of Joe Kelly, who's had a pretty rough year with them. What would you think about Sox giving them a little bit of money and bringing them over?
Okay, so Dave, your point being that you think the Red Sox need bullpen help. Can you tell me why?
I just don't trust the 7th and 8th inning guys, Brazier. I mean, he blew it last night.
Okay, so Dave, I'm going to let you go because I thought you were going to get right to the bullpen and how you didn't believe in the bullpen. And honestly, the connection wasn't all that great either. So here's where we're going to start. They won the game last night. For those of you that watched it, you'll know that the 8th inning was an absolute hair-raising experience. I mean, absolute hair-raising experience. The Red Sox are up 6-3 going into the 8th. Now, remember, for the most part this year, Brazier has gotten the save opportunities, Ryan Brazier. Last night, Brazier came in and into the game in the 8th. The Orioles, you know what? I'll tell you what. Rather than me, I'm prattle on and on about what happened, why don't we just play the highlights for you? That'll explain what happened.
Chavis and Bogaerts double play depth up the middle and a 1-1. Hard hit off the bag, a fair ball. Down the line it rolls. Betts in the foul ground is scooping up. Mancini on his way to third. They're going to wave him in. Moreland will fire home, play at the plate, and he is safe. Down to second base, Smith. That makes it a 6-4 game.
Boy, that ball was scalded down the line.
Line toward the alley. Bradley giving an effort, but it's going to drop in, and another run scores. Dwight Smith touching home plate. This is a one-run game on a base hit by Davis.
Davis saw nothing but fastballs there.
So it is 6-5, and the tying run is on. Brazier knocked around here in the eighth inning. Got to bring Barnes in.
Okay, so Matt Barnes had to come into the game. He ended up closing the game. He got out of that inning, and the Red Sox got two more runs in the ninth. They end up winning the game 8-5. So the good news is they won. They withstood it. But I would tell you again, nearly another blown save last night. We talked about this at the end of last week. And suddenly you look at the Red Sox and you say, you know what? They're starting to hit. Matt McCarthy of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast pointed this out to me a little while ago. The Red Sox right now, number one in Major League Baseball in runs scored in the month of May. They are tied for home runs, number one in home runs in the month of May. They had three more last night. They are second in OPS in the month of May. So don't look now, but the Red Sox are starting to hit. Meanwhile, the starting pitching has been pretty good. Starting pitching has been pretty good now for a little while, which brings us back to the area that should concern you the most about the Red Sox going all the way back to spring training, which is that bullpen. They don't have enough help out there, and if I'm Dave Dombrowski, I start thinking about making a move sooner rather than later. And the reason? Because my team has basically dug itself out of the hole. With a win tonight, again, they'll be 500. 6-13 in the first 19 games. If they win tonight, 13-6 in the next 19. That's pretty good. Good for them. It appears as though they're about ready to pull themselves out of that huge hole that they dug in the early part of the year. But let me ask you, as a fan, do you believe in that bullpen now? Does it make you nervous? Because it sure as hell makes me nervous. Ryan Brazier now. And oddly, last night, Alex Cora brought Brazier in to face a succession of left-handed batters, which is really mystifying to me. Because Cora said at the beginning of the year that the whole idea was that they were going to match up in the late innings. And that they were going to go with a guy who's better against lefties versus a guy who's better against righties, or maybe breaking ball hitters against, you know, a fastball pitch. You get the idea. They were going to play matchups. And they were going to use all the data at their disposal to exploit those matchups. So why would he bring Ryan Brazier into that game last night with all those left-handed batters due up? Do you know what left-handed batters are hitting against Ryan Brazier this year? I'm going to tell you, naturally. 273, which, not so bad. The OPS, 920. Brazier has given up 9 hits to left-handed batters this year, 5 of them for extra bases, 3 of them are home runs. So he brings in a guy who can't get lefties to face a succession of lefties, and the Orioles score 2 runs and threaten to tie the game. Then he goes to Barnes. Barnes comes in and ultimately closes the game out. Now, prior to Brazier coming in the game, Workman pitched. Can I just tell you, I'm not a Brandon Workman fan. Jimmy Stewart, are you a Brandon Workman fan? What do you think of Brandon Workman?
Walks too many batters.
Seriously, got 13.
So I don't like him, to answer your question.
He's got 13 walks in 16 innings this year, and I feel like you do. That's like a ridiculously high number.
But he hasn't given up a hit in 35 consecutive batters. Blah.
Okay, so seriously, though, do you realize that that stat is true?
Oh.
That opposing hitters are literally 0-35 against them the last 35 official at-bats, and that doesn't count walks. Murray, what do you think of Workman?
Yeah, he's just another guy, and I know what the numbers are, and he had that good seventh last night. But, I don't know, you put him in a higher leverage situation, so maybe some fans look at him right now and say, well, maybe Workman's the guy. He should be the closer, or put him in the eighth. What do you expect is going to happen? I don't know. I don't think that that's going to be sustainable.
Okay, so look.
That's why they still need help. I'm with you on this. They should address the bullpen.
So I don't think they have the horses out there. I don't. I don't think they have the horses in the bullpen. And frankly, and I hope one of you two, if not both, will vouch for me on this. One of the things I said I wanted the Red Sox to do during the offseason was to get a power left-handed reliever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because they need someone who can get lefties out. And they've been one of the worst teams in the league this year, by the way, against left-handed batters. So this is an issue, especially with all those lefty starters in the rotation. Rodriguez, Sale, Price. They get all these lefties in the rotation. They can't get lefties out because they don't really have a lefty in the bullpen, which is a problem. But Workman, since you brought him up, Matt McCarthy said to me in the hallway during the last break of the afternoon show, McCarthy said to me, I'd flip-flop the roles with Workman and Brazier. And you know what? He might be right. Just to give you the numbers, I'm no Workman fan, and at the end of the day, I think they need another guy out there. But this year against Brandon Workman, do you realize opposing hitters are 2-49? 2-49. As Jimmy Stewart pointed out, they've also walked 13 times. 13 times in, I think, 16-some-odd innings, which is way too many walks. But if you're not going to give up hits, well, then what difference does a walk make? Now, Workman walked the bases loaded effectively and gave up one of those hits in New York on the night that Brazier gave up the grand slam. It was Workman who loaded the bases. But left-handed batters against Workman this year, 0-17. Righties are 2-32. So if you believe in that Red Sox bullpen, good for you. I don't. And you know what? That wasn't even, if you ask me, that was the most long-lasting and significant development in the game last night, was how Cora is going to navigate his way through the late innings. Because if they're going to have trouble with the Orioles, wait until they go against the Astros who are coming up. Wait until they start facing good competition, and those games are coming. If the Red Sox can't get through the eighth inning against the Orioles, what do you think is going to happen when they face Houston? Okay, so that's something to keep an eye on. Nonetheless, in terms of how the mighty have fallen, wow, was there something way out of the ordinary that happened in that Red Sox game last night early on? In the fourth inning, in fact. I'll tell you exactly what that was when we come back. Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Starting pitchers are out of the ball game pretty early tonight. There's a shot. Good and high, deep to left. Rising up, and gone. A three-run homer for Mitch Moreland. Number 10. Apparently, he does not like to be trailing anybody for the RBI lead on the ball club, and he's back in first place there with a three-run blast.
Well, Mitch gets a fastball, and he doesn't try to pull. I mean, just get the ball in the air here in Camden Yard, and he just hits this ball out. Trying to get it in, didn't get it in. Middle piece. Three-run Johnson for Mitch Moreland. Get out of here.
So again, the Red Sox can get to 500 tonight with a win over the Orioles. That said, keep it in your pants. Okay? Keep it in your pants. Don't get too excited for beating up on Baltimore. However, there are some good things that are happening with the Red Sox right now. And last night, a few of them really in the early part of the game. Number one, they jumped to an early lead. They blew it right away. They let the Orioles tie the game in the bottom half 2-2. Then they went up 3-2, and the Orioles tied the game again with a home run. So here you go. The Red Sox are blowing leads. And then Moreland hit a three-run homer. So, and that was really the biggest blow of the game. The Red Sox held the lead really for the balance of the night. Brazier teetered in the eighth inning. Red Sox added two more in the ninth and ultimately won the game 8-5. Earlier in the year, they were stranding lots of guys on base. They weren't converting scoring opportunities, and they were allowing the other team to come back and win games when they won those few occasions where they did have the lead. Again, go back to that game in New York. They led throughout the night. Then they get to the seventh inning, I think it was. Workman put three men on. Brazier gave up a home run. Good night. You lose 5-4. That's the way it was going in the early part of the year. Now it's a little different, but that bullpen does bear watching. And for you Jackie Bradley fans, oh boy, do I have a bad sign for you. Boy, do I have a bad sign for you. Adam Jones, who's coming up tonight, Adam Jones is probably just must have been doubled over in laughter last night when he saw what happened in the fourth inning last night. I'll tell you about that in a minute. First, Pete's in Millville on the bullpen. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Tony. Quick thing up. You know what? Last year's team, that bullpen was horrible. This year, it's going to be horrible. It's Dombrowski's model. He's solid 1-9, and his starting pitching's great. They don't need a good bullpen to win the World Series. They proved it last year. They proved it this year. The pen will be robust in the playoffs when they slide some of the starters into the bullpen, and it'll make a run again. And that's why I don't think the bullpen's a huge issue right now.
Yeah, okay, so look, Pete, you want to talk to me about October and tell me that starters are going to get key innings again, fine. You can tell me whatever you want about October. If you think right now that this bullpen is good enough to get by the best teams in the American League and win a division, boy, are you delusional. That's what I think. I think you're out of your freaking mind if you want to know the truth. You think this, based on what we've seen here in the early part of the year, you think this bullpen is going to be good enough against good competition? Because I have news for you. You're not winning 108 games again. You're not going to win the division by 8 games over a team that won 100 or whatever the stupid number was last year. That's not going to happen again. Okay, so if you think that they can get through the regular season with this bullpen, all the power to you. Meanwhile, what's going on in the outfield? Did you guys catch this last night? I thought this might have been sort of the single most startling development of this game. And you want to talk about messages delivered to a player and a team in the early part of the year? Let me set the scene for you. In the fourth inning last night, Xander Bogaerts led off with the home run to put the Red Sox up 3-2. 3-2. Devers then singled and Chavis walked. So you are in the fourth inning of a game you are leading against the worst pitching staff in the majors in a ballpark that might as well be a shoebox. It's a tiny ballpark. You're up 3-2. You have two on and nobody out. You have the chance to put together a big rally and blow the game open. Jackie Bradley Jr. comes to the plate with a right-hander on the mound. And this happened.
Red Sox 3, Baltimore 2. And Hess really scuffling here, indicating a bunt. Whoa. And looking at a strike.
How about that? That's unheard of. This part of the game, in a ballpark, you can score a ton of runs. You're going to give up an out.
And a 1-1 pitch. And he's bunting to third. Ruiz took a look at second, guns to first, gets the out, a sacrifice bunt. It's a productive out. Runners go to second and third.
Jackie bunts to let the ninth hitter come up. Well, that says a lot right there.
How about that? How about that? Up 3-2 in Baltimore in the freaking fourth inning. Two on, nobody out. Right-hander on the mound in Baltimore. One of the smallest hitter-friendly ballparks in baseball against a wretched pitching staff. You're ahead. Fourth inning with Christian Vasquez, the number 9 hitter, behind you. And you know what Alex Cora did? He told Jackie Bradley to bunt. He told him to bunt. And that was an edited version of the sequence right there. Bradley took the first pitch. It was a fastball at the knees. He squared around, then pulled it back, and the pitch was a strike. And Nesson cut away in the dugout to Alex Cora and Dana Lavangi. The pitching coach was standing right next to him, and Lavangi sort of muttered something to Cora, or Cora muttered something to Lavangi, and they both were sort of, you know, barely moving their lips because they didn't want the TV cameras to be able to lip read. But I wonder if Alex Cora watched that and said, you got to be kidding me. I give this guy the bunt sign in the fourth inning because he can't hit his weight soaking wet. He can't hit his weight. I give this guy the bunt sign, and he lets a fastball at the knees go by on the outer part of the plate. Like he could have bunted right up the third baseline. So you know what I envision that conversation to be? I envision that as Alex Cora looking at that going, this guy's not going to bunt. I give him the bunt sign, and he doesn't want to bunt. So Cora kept it on. And Jackie Bradley squared away and took a ball on the next pitch. But then on the third one, squared away again, or squared up again, and bunted one down the third baseline. But tell me that isn't revealing. And here's what it relates to as it pertains to the Red Sox in the bigger picture. Jackie Bradley right now, offensively in particular, useless. And as we pointed out last week, defensively, the Red Sox ranked 14th out of the 15 American League teams in defense at center field. 14 out of 15. So if Bradley is giving you below average defense and he's hitting .140 or whatever the number is, and you have to bunt in the fourth inning of a game at Baltimore on May 7th to get to Christian Vasquez with men on base, why is he in the lineup? So you know what Cora said today? And he did his weekly interview with our competitors. I was going to say across the street, but they're not across the street anymore, Murray. Nonetheless, asked about the possibility of Chavis playing and seeing some time in the outfield. Cora said, quote, he's a good athlete. The other day I was telling Tom Goodwin, the first base coach, just to stand him in left field and see the flight of the ball during batting practice. He's never played the outfield, but just during BP, go out there and see it. Obviously, we play half our games in a tough left field with the wall. Lie. It's easy left field with the wall. But I'll let him keep going. It's something you start thinking about, Cora said. You have to start thinking ahead. So if Dustin Pedroia comes back, and when he comes back, he's got to play. You can't carry four utility guys, however many utility guys you want to carry. Pedroia has to be in the lineup when he comes back. For your team to operate properly, he's got to play every day at second base or close to it. Meanwhile, Chavis deserves to stay in the lineup. So you know what the solution is? Chavis in left, at least at Fenway. Benintendi moves to center, and JBJ goes to the bench. Frankly, where he belongs. So all you JBJ people, and I say belongs with the way he's playing right now. If Jackie Bradley hits, my opinion changes. But he hasn't hit all year. So all the Jackie Bradley fans and supporters who rave about his defense and it's worth carrying him, well, Alex Cora clearly disagrees because he bunted him in the fourth inning last night. Alex Cora clearly disagrees because they're getting ready to put Chavis in left when they bring Pedroia back. So how do you feel about that? You tell me. I personally think it's the right move. You want to know the truth? I think they whiffed. They should have traded Bradley during the offseason after his stock was high and he won the MVP, the American League Championship Series. They made the mistake then, but it's too late now. Maybe he, though, is a guy you can trade at the deadline and get some relief help because it'll help with the payroll flexibility a little bit, too. I just don't see the point in keeping Jackie Bradley right now because he's not giving you anything. Well, I take that back. Maybe he is giving you something, at least every once in a while. We'll explain what that was after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To center field, closing on Jackie Bradley. Diving ahead, and he caught the ball. Nicely done by the Gold Glover to snag that one.
Ball stayed up just enough.
Shot into right field. Bets on a move. Mookie dives and makes the play. So a couple of Gold Glove plays in the inning by the Gold Glovers.
Yet another sign that the Red Sox are playing better. Last year, their outfield defense might have been the best in the game. I mean, Benintendi, Bradley, Betts, their outfield defense was phenomenal. And for those of you that love to shove Jackie Bradley down my throat, and we'll get to your calls here in just a second because I see you lined up. The Red Sox outfield defense was a huge factor in them winning Game 4 of the American League Championship Series against Houston, if you remember that. But it was Mookie Betts. The fan interference call, first of all, that Betts went up into the crowd and didn't make the catch, but it was called fan interference. Home run taken away from the Astros. And then late in the game, who's it, the outfielder? I was going to say Tony Sipp, but it's not Tony Sipp's a reliever. Tony Kemp, I think it is. The outfielder for the Astros hit one down the right field line. Betts picked it up and gunned him out at second base. So their outfield defense last year, excellent. Excellent, and it made a difference in the postseason in Game 4. It made a difference. You still have to hit. And last night in the sixth inning, both Bradley and Betts made diving catches in what was a 1-2-3 inning and easily could have been you know, a rally for the Orioles, although I will say both catches were dressed up a little. They were good catches. They weren't breathtaking like the best catches I've ever seen. I'm not sure that either one really had to dive, but nonetheless, they did, and they were good plays. Okay, and those guys can do that out there. But you still have to hit a little bit to justify it, particularly in the outfield. You want to carry a shortstop who can't hit, that's one thing. A center fielder who can't hit, it just he doesn't earn his keep if he does that. Nick is in Blackstone on Jackie Bradley. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Tony. So I disagree a little bit on the sense that worst case scenario, he's probably going to ground into a double play in that situation. So at least Vasquez is hot. But more so when it comes to his at bat later in the game, you have a guy who's pounding fastballs and is getting hit at the time. And so he gets a high fastball, swings away, whatever, misses it. What do you think is going to come next after this guy's fastball is getting pounded? Throws a curveball in the dirt and he looks like a pitcher up there swinging the bat. Like it just blows my mind. Like we've shown that we can BS left field a little bit with JD Martinez and with other people there. So I don't even get why, like you had mentioned, why didn't we trade him in the offseason? And two, why is he even in the lineup at this point when he's batting basically .130?
Okay. So Nick, I think what Cora is now saying though, is he's not going to be in the lineup much longer. It sounds like when Pedroia comes back, they are getting ready to put Michael Chavis in left field, at least at Fenway Park. And Cora said today, well, you know, we have a tough left field. No, they don't. Fenway Park's the easiest left field in baseball.
Ball goes over your head, turn around.
Right, turn around and back up. Turn your back to the plate and back up. It's that simple. That's really all you have to do. You don't even have to, you know, a lot of outfields that are bigger are problematic because you say, well, you know, if I play deep, balls fall in front. I play shallow, balls go over my head, and now I'm giving up triples. You got a lot of ground to cover. There's a lot of work to do. Fenway, there's no ground. There's no ground at all. It's like the most overrated thing ever is playing that stupid wall. Somehow there used to be a premium on it. I don't know why. Like, whether it was a Boston thing or what, it's like the easiest-ass position to play in baseball.
And to Chavis' credit, he's shown a willingness to play just about anywhere, right? So that's good. They just, I mean, with the collar and with you and anyone else with a working brain, you just can't keep Jackie Bradley Jr. in the lineup right now. He's a disaster.
And so, Murray, I'm with you. Chavis has shown a willingness to do it, and which is smart because he's a kid trying to earn his keep in the big leagues. So, but let's flip it around just because, you know, because this is who I am. If Chavis said he didn't want to play left field, what would we be saying about him?
He's selfish, stubborn, a baby.
What kind of a-hole are you?
Yeah.
You just get to the big leagues, they want to get you into the lineup, and you don't want to play left field? So if you're Michael Chavis, shut up. Do whatever they ask. They want your bat in the lineup. Benintendi goes to center, and Bradley sits on the bench. And I know those of you who love that defense. Oh, God, do you love that defense in center field? Really, how many plays are there a year where Jackie Bradley makes a play that another center fielder can't make? How many times? Because center fielders, they're all over baseball. They're a bunch of good ones. They can all run the ball down. The good ones can hit. So how many plays a year really does he make that someone else can't make? A half dozen? One a month? Is that really worth carrying a .130 average? Patrick's in a car. Patrick, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. I like your show. I listen every day. But I agree that Bradley has to sit. You can't have a guy hitting .130 and playing every day. It doesn't work. It never has, and it never will. So I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, Patrick, I'll tell you, I'm pleasantly surprised. Because usually the Jackie Bradley fans all swarm to his defense and say, oh, no, he's worth it. Yeah, man, the defense is worth it. He's a great fielder. He's the best center fielder I ever seen. That's what I hear over and over and over again. Okay? And he's good. He's really good out there. I'm not taking that away from him. But at that position, how many chances a game do you really get? Again, it's not like shortstop, and I understand it's a fly ball game now, but it's not like shortstop where, you know, you're playing or even catcher, where you're playing one of the most important positions in the game. I believe in being strong defensively up the middle, but center field is one you can give up. Bradley right now at the plate has been useless. Useless. In fact, you know what? I'm going to look up where he ranks in OPS among all regulars in Major League Baseball here in just a second. Mike is in Wellesley. Mike, what do you got? Mike, are you there? Okay, we lost Mike. So you know what, Murray? I'm going to do this live on the air. Screw it. Because, I you know, it's a hard thing to do, sort of talk and research at the same time. But, yeah, whatever. I think I can pull it off. So of the, let's see, of the 92 qualifying major leaguers, 92, and it's American League, 92 qualifying American leaguers for the batting title, where do you think Jackie Bradley ranks in terms of OPS?
90?
92nd. Dead last. Dead last. Where do you think he ranks in terms of batting average? How about batting average? Where do you think he ranks there? Want to take a guess?
92nd.
91st. 91st, Jackie Bradley. All right, fine. So maybe he draws some walks. And you know what? When he hits it with authority. I mean, doesn't he? I mean, you know, like Chavis. You say, well, or better yet, Christian Vasquez is not hitting for high average this year. But when he's hit 5 home runs. There's some power there, so you say it's worth it. So you know what Jackie Bradley's slugging is this year? Of the 92 qualifying players in the American League, you know where he ranks in slugging?
Dead last.
92nd. 92. 92. Last. Last. Again, he has been the worst offensive player in the American League this year. The worst. Is Craig in Sudbury on the line? Is that guy, is he ready to go? Maybe. Craig, you there?
I'm right here. How you doing?
Okay, what do you got?
I'm all over this because in the off season, why didn't Dombrowski try to move him? They knew this, you know, that he was having problems last year.
I'm with you.
Now you got someone that's really, you're not going to be able to move the guy at all. Unless, I don't even know, what kind of a contract does he have?
Okay, so I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say that Bradley this year is making $9 million, somewhere in that area. I don't know, maybe, Murray, are you checking that? Is that what you're doing? The somewhere around $9 million bucks is what I think he's making this season?
Yep, $8.5 million.
Okay. And he's going to go up again next year because he's going to be arbitration eligible at the end of the year. So Jackie Bradley's going to come in and call it, I don't know, 11? 12? Something like that? Is he worth that?
No.
And he's going to be a free agent at the end of next year. So had you moved him during the offseason with 2 years left, coming off an MVP performance in the LCS, boy, you really could have gotten something for him. And now you're going to get nothing. I'm loath to do this, but Scott and Rentham, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, have you got any updates down at AA on that guy, Phil D?
Yeah, I'm going to let you go, Zoe. What did he say? Bill D's?
Yeah.
I could have fallen for that one very easily. You know, I can be a little
He's tried it too many times.
I can be a little on the gullible side. I'm just telling you that Jackie Bradley, he made a nice play last night. But boy, going back to the last segment, Alex Cora, first and second. I can't say this enough. First and second, fourth inning, you're ahead 3-2 against Baltimore. The Orioles, you're ahead 3-2 against the Orioles. First and second, nobody out in the third inning, and the number 9 hitter on deck. And Alex Cora told Jackie Bradley to bunt. He told him to bunt. You know how many sacrifice bunts the Red Sox had all of last year? And either of you two want to venture a guess?
4.
7.
I went under Price is Right rules.
7. This year, they've already had 7. Last night was their 7th.
This year, they suck, Maz.
Okay, so the point is, the Cora is asking him to do a little more of this. Bradley in particular. I think Bradley leads the team in sacrifice bunts. I'll double check that. But really, like you see that in the 4th inning. Sacrifice bunt against the Orioles in a freaking birdcage of a ballpark. That place is tiny. Absolutely freaking tiny. And he asked him to bunt. Wow. Is that an indictment?
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928. Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.